I knew it. Another Herd At Media production.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Good. I'm so excited to be on. Thanks for having me. Sorry about yesterday.
No, my God, no. And this is the thing, too. When I'm like, no, no, no. And I was like, ooh, I have an extra 15 minutes. Shit. I'll go see my kids. Like, I get a call because my son decides to chase someone around the yard. He's six. Like a psychotic boy does. And I get a call from the vice principal because they're like, well, I mean, it was fine. But then, you know, he put the kid into a headlock and he was like, I don't understand. I didn't hurt him. He's not bleeding. And the vice principal's like, but you know, that little thing like called breathing. So we might need to do that. So
unfortunately, you have to do that to continue to survive. So I understand. But I will say boys and girls are so different. It's crazy.
So how in the fuck? Sorry, I swear a lot.
That's fine. You're right up my alley. You're good.
Perfect. I figured you, this is another reason I was like really getting in your shit. I'm like, man, I'm like a stalker at this point. By the way, hello for you, girl.
Oh, you're so sweet. I love it. I love it.
How do you do for girls?
I mean, to be honest, I feel like they make it easier on me. They all are around the same age. So I'd say at the beginning, I had four under, I think, like 3.5. And that was like, what did I do to my life? Self-talk, like, I fucked it up.
Doing?
Why did I do this? But now they're all so close in age that they tend to entertain one another. So now it's easier. I would say at the beginning it was harder. And I think it's easier now, and then it's going to get hell.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're all going to be in high school at the same time. So I imagine like boys and just
periods,
everything. I mean, my husband already said, he's like, I'm taking them. I know all y'all are going to start matching up, taking a week every month, and I'm out. Can you take me with you? And he's like,
and
no,
you go fine, dick face. The next weekend, yeah. I'm out.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with the drama that fell.
Oh my
in
God.
After.
Did you guys think that, like, did you guys keep going? Cause you're like, third one's a boy.
So I wanted a boy. My husband did not. And everyone thinks that's kind of crazy. Obviously, with what my husband does with sports, everyone thinks, and that he'd want a boy. To like pass it down to.
Totally.
That's the reason he didn't want a boy. He knows like his girls have no pressure on them. They can do whatever they want, not whatever they want. But on my side, like I was an athlete growing up. Yep. So I wanted all boys, which is why my girls kind of have those gender neutral names because I wanted all boys. But we did try, and we even, you know, we did IVF because it took us a long time for the first two to come about. And turns out I had some embryos left over. We tested all of those to see zero boys.
Zero. Oh, so you're meant to be girl dad.
I'm meant to be. I mean, who knows? Maybe his like sperm only makes girls. I'm not real sure, but
well,
it was a lot of girls.
I have to like
basketball teams.
Right. I mean, like after three, you know, the fourth is.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the fourth, we just said, okay, well, if we get pregnant, we get pregnant, then we'll have a fourth and we'll figure out. And we didn't find out until she was born what gender she was. And I had the same doctor and nurses, which was incredible through every pregnancy, same like priest, doesn't matter, but all through every phase. And they were laughing so hard that baby came out and they were like, another girl.
And you're like this.
Yes. And my husband's like, thank goodness. But here I am. I mean, he loves it. We both love it. It's fun right now. I feel like it's going to be a lot come, you know, when they turn 12 to 16, that's going to be not so fun.
Yeah. Well, then I've always heard that they say boys break your house and girls break your heart.
No, I can already see it.
It's, you know,
And you know what? I feel like they're going to break his heart more than mine because they're such daddy's girls.
For sure.
That the minute. Yeah. See, they're not mommy's girls. Mommy's the tough one. So I'm like used to their attitudes and all this, but the minute they start giving it to him, he's going to be like, what the hell? Like, welcome to my life. So,
yeah. So you are, isn't it? You're like the mean one, right? And he's like the nice, the sweet, fun one.
Oh yeah.
So my husband.
And I feel like that's most like, unfortunately, I feel like that's most women because we're with them all the time. That, and I, what bothers me the most is he'll be like, you know what, just calm down. It's okay. I'm like, no. The reason they're good kids is because I am hard on them. That's why you get to reap the benefits of taking them out, and they behave and they do things that you ask, and they're very sweet girls. But that's because there's someone in the background going, you know, like kind of being stern with them.
Being
so,
a psycho.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Totally.
Like, so don't tell me not to be a psycho because our kids will suck.
By the way, if you, I would rather you call me any name in the book, a psycho, a bitch, like anything, than telling me to calm down. Because you know what's going to happen when you tell me to calm down? I'm ripping your balls off with my hands. Like, oh, and speaking of calming down, my dick face husband. I love doing these podcasts because I can actually make fun of him to other people than himself. Like,
yeah.
It's so great. So the other day I was like, guess who I'm having on? And he was like, who? And I told him, and he's like, guess what, Melissa? And I was like, what? And he's like, guess she's probably going to be working with his husband in a little bit, her husband a little bit. And I'm like, don't try to one up me. Don't steal my shit.
How so?
So my husband is, which I didn't know this at all. I mean, like we've been to Rams games. Like I like know the crew, right? Like, but my husband runs sports department for WME.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And so works with Ira.
Yeah.
Like, the whole crew.
Oh man, small world.
Totally. Right. And I had no idea. And then I was like talking to him, and this is the first time he brought it up because like we'll go to the games and it's like, hey, there's Uncle Sean, because he's had Sean for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
And so then he's like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna get in and like work with Ira when he wants to go off the field and do broadcasting and be a fucking rock star as he was on the field, off the field.
Oh my gosh, how funny. So your husband does broadcasting.
So he does, like he'll pluck the athletes when they're coming off the field. He started doing production companies and selling TV shows. And then the both of us are like psycho sports. And he's like, I want to get in the sports world. So we kind of started like grabbing some people. Like one of his first was like Ray Lewis and Michael Strahan. Ooh. And got them going. Nice. Yeah.
And then grabs.
He was like, dude, this shit's dope. And then he got Kobe and it was with Kobe forever, which always reminds me because it's like, girl dad, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so, breaks my heart, yeah.
Totally. And Kobe, like he was like, my wife wants a third one day to Kobe. And he's like, dude, I don't know. I'm older. I'm not like a spring chicken anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck do you care? What are you doing? You're sitting there. She's doing all the work. Birthing, like everything. Like, why do you care?
Yeah.
And literally for years, he was like, I don't want a third. I don't want a third. I don't want a third. Had this talk with Kobe. Comes home and he's like, we can have another one. I'm like, you are such a dick.
Well, honestly, maybe my husband had a conversation because for a long time he was like, I don't want a fourth. I was like, I really want to try for a boy. Like, I want a boy. You have your daddy's girls. I want a mama's boy. And he's like, ugh. And like, when it took 2 years, not really, maybe like 6 months because we tried to push him together. But he came out and he was like, yeah, it's like my birthday present. I opened it up and he was like, we can have another kid. I was like, oh, thank you for my birthday present.
You're like, but so the IVF and then the other two were natural.
Yeah. So IVF and then found out I was pregnant when the girls, my twins were, I think 6 or 7 months and wanted to peel over because I was just getting back into the swing of things in a way of like, they're not puking on me 95% of the time. They're actually like holding, because they were both colic. It was horrible. Oh, so I was like, just started, they were 6 months. They were starting to sleep better, all these things. And all of a sudden I'm like, I feel off. It's like, no chance. Went and took a test, pregnant, told him on Christmas. He literally goes, like, I did the little like cute scavenger hunt to make it like woo surprise. And girl, he thought I was sending him to a golf course because it had a three in it. He was like, what golf course? And like Pinehurst, not like, no, like thinking in his mind, I'm sending him on a golf trip. I go, no, asshole, it's another child. And he was like, what? I said, yeah. He goes, no shit. I go, no shit. Like, literally, I mean,
you can golf one more time and that's it for the rest of your life.
Your life's over after this. But no, and it was great because we didn't have to do the IVF. And then the last one, we just said, you know, if we get pregnant, we get pregnant. If we don't, we don't. And we got pregnant. So I think the IVF kind of sparked my body a little bit, which is crazy because they give you these percentages of chances. And mine was very, very low.
Young.
Yeah, I have a fucked up inside. Like, it just is what it is. Yeah. I always joke that my mom was on some kind of drugs when she produced me. She claims she wasn't. So we'll stick with that.
Whatever.
Mom. Yeah, but so
it's the reason we're all fucked up internally and everywhere.
100%. Although I don't think we're as fucked up as the generation behind us. So I don't know what those parents were doing.
Yeah. No, so. You know what? It is true because we had to go through IVF. It's like, and you know, they go in and they show you the charts. And like, once you hit 35, it's like, you're literally just falling off the cliff and you're dead. Like, why are you even alive anymore?
Yeah.
And my husband, Josh was like, but she just turned 35. And the doctor's like, are you trying to like negotiate? Like
a couple days.
Like, sorry, she's off. Like, she is diving down. Like, and we tried. It was like miscarriages. We did two rounds. I did four IUIs, two rounds of IVF. Couldn't do it. And we're like, fuck this. We need a break. Went to Hawaii. Got off all like the, like, you
hormones.
Can't eat this. You can't, yeah, all of it.
All of it.
Got shit canned watching my Buckeyes game. Like, it was.
And then.
Came home. And they're like, okay, you're coming in for your third round. When, like, your period's supposed to be here. I'm like, yeah, I know. They're like, it's not? I'm like, no. So I come in for a blood test. And it was positive. And I'm like, listen, assholes, do you remember when you said I couldn't get pregnant naturally and we just went through forever of hell?
Shit. Yes.
And then the second one was like, bah.
That's so nice though, right? Sometimes it just needs to, I don't know, learn how to do it or something. I have no idea. It needs some extra moments. But for the people who don't have to go through it, it's such a blessing.
It's huge.
That is such hell on your body and your marriage. And
totally.
Every conversation ends up being about it, even though you don't start it that way. It was so hard on my husband and I. Like, we really struggled through the IVF phase because I was in like a dark hole blaming myself.
Of course.
She didn't, like, men don't know how to support that. Men don't know how to, no offense, but they're never really like, that good at emotions.
I slap you on the ass and let's move it along.
Yeah, he's like, you good, babe? You good?
Are we still talking about this?
Yeah.
I thought we closed that book. Are we good?
Yes. And that's all my brain thinks about
when
you're doing it. And then you're hormonal and you are gaining weight and it's just,
it's the worst.
And there's things coming out of places that it just is.
And you're like, okay, let's go get naked, like get excited.
Yeah. And then you're scheduling. It's awful. And you know, they feel like a, I don't know, just a piece of meat,
like, that's sperm donation.
Yeah. And it turns out they end up being that if you go through IVF. They basically donate their sperm, which that part is so common for me. I don't know about the clinic y'all went in, but ours was so old school. They like went into a room. Uh-huh. There's nurses walking around everywhere. Mm-hmm. They have magazines. I'm like, I'm sorry, a phone? Probably better than staring at a picture,
it's
but
like Jogs magazine.
Yeah, and like the pages are sticking together. You know what I mean? You're like, oh God, I thought this was supposed to be clean and sterile.
Have fun.
And meanwhile, I'm like trying to send him dirty text, like, you know, just to get it going. And he's like, yeah, this isn't, that's not helping me right now.
But he's like, hold on, I can't answer my phone because my fingers are stuck to the magazine.
Or I interrupted his video and he's like, great, thanks a lot. Now I got to start over. So
now give me another 10 minutes.
Yeah, that whole thing to me is comical though, that it's still like that. I feel like they should come up with something better.
And they're so just like, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a gynecologist. Like once you see like 10, you're like, it's nothing to me.
I know.
But it's just so odd. I'm like,
give me your plastic cup.
Go do it.
Yeah. Honestly, I was not expecting it to happen when I was sitting there. And they're like, all right, here's your cup, Mr. Safford. The room's right down the hall to the right. And I was like, wait, he's going like right now? And they're like, yeah. I was like, should I go in there with him? And they're like, oh, no, ma'am, it needs to be sterile. And I'm like, sterile my ass. Look at all the shit that's in here. Yeah.
Look at your 1972 Playboy edition, okay? With pages ripped out. Like, we ripped the perfume ads out. They ripped, like, the big tits.
Yeah. I mean, they was scarce in there, but, you know. It makes me laugh all the time, like talking about it and thinking about it, because that's wild to me that there's not a new way. I guess there's not really another way to do it, but you would think they'd have like a nice setup. No, just a chair in a room.
You know what? I was thinking too, because I had watched the Sex and the City when Charlotte and Trey go in and she's in there with them. And I was like,
yeah,
this is not real. Like at least make your scenes real.
Yeah, not allowed.
No one's going in and helping them out.
No, not allowed. Got to be sterile.
The IVF thing it's a whole different beast. And like, it's one of those things I feel like you don't even understand unless you do go through it.
Yeah. There's just a lot there's just a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of feelings and emotions coming from everybody. And then you have to add like, you're shooting yourself up every day. Like that's totally. Not fun either. So, I'm glad, like, I'm so happy we have it. Because obviously I don't know where I would be. I don't know if my body would have figured it out. So I'm so happy that we have IVF. It pisses me off what's happening. What was it, like Alabama? I can't remember. Do you remember the one that stopped IVF?
Yes. What state? Was it Bama?
I don't think it was Bama now that I said that. But one of the states.
It probably was Bama because they suck anyway. They're stupid football. They all do the stupid shit.
Could you imagine being in the middle of your treatment?
No. Mm-mm.
And then clinics are like, oh, sorry, we can't do it because of we can't destroy embryos anymore. So we're like holding embryo. It's crazy.
It is. Well, like people don't even understand. It's like, that's when I talk to people and they're like, oh, I'm pregnant again. I'm like, naturally. And you're bitching about it. Like think about all the people.
Yeah.
And some like can't even do even IVF or anything. You know, it's like,
well, it's so expensive. It's so expensive to do.
It's beyond. Yeah. Like, I mean, I remember the medication bills were like tens of thousands of dollars.
It's the treatment, but it's not the actual procedure. It's the medicine leading up to it. That is so expensive.
And it's like down payments in Alabama for a house.
Oh, 100%.
Wait, where are you from?
I'm from Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. Oh, I'm Ohio. So,
okay.
Then we get out to LA and I'm like this house, we could buy all of Ohio. Like what's that?
It is. I'm telling you, Matthew and I always talk about like, okay, obviously financials are a part of every marriage's conversations. And we're talking about, well, gosh, we're about to move into a new home, which we're very excited about. But for what we paid for it, I told him, I was like, you could go back to Georgia and have, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how big, like
square foot house.
Just like a huge ranch with that on it. Like that's tough to like wrap your head around a little bit. I'm sitting in LA, which is beautiful, and the weather is incredible, and you can't beat that. And you can't beat the fact that you can drive to the beach, but also go skiing the same day.
Totally.
Nothing can beat that. Now I am a little bit of a homebody, so I miss my home. I miss Georgia a little bit. And to know how much money we could be.
I know.
Saving by living there, and taxes too. I mean, I'm telling him with my podcast. I'm like, listen, can I claim independent? I don't want to claim under you. I got
my
nothing.
Shit doesn't even cover anything with my podcast. I'm like, how many podcasts? How many jobs? I became a nutritionist. I have a business. I have like 18. Like coming close to covering taxes here. I mean, and you guys came from Michigan, which is still just as like inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Was it hard to like to come out here and like you have 4 kids.
Yeah. Luckily they were young. So that, I think my oldest were 3 at that time. Maybe 4.
Okay.
So they were really young. This was, I mean, we had a baby. And to be honest, it was an amazing experience in Michigan. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like, we grew up there. I was 19 when I moved there. So I was a baby. And grew up there. The people are incredible. But it was time. It was time for us to do another adventure. Luckily, we ended up here. I mean, we could have ended up anywhere. But very lucky that we ended up in L.A. My girls love it. They're outside all the time. Because it goes from putting jackets
freezing your balls off
and gloves on four kids to just go outside and play. It doesn't even matter. Right. They get cold, they throw on a little sweatshirt, and that's it. That's all they ever need. So that's nice.
That's the best.
It makes it easy. And it makes it easy to get some space. Like, y'all just be outside for a while. Go ride your bikes, do something, but you need to be out of the house. So it's been a very nice switch for us. And, you know, who knows what the future holds? I don't know. But we'll see. I mean, I hope we're here for the long haul.
I hope you guys are here too.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have that much longer, so I would think we're fine. But, you know, you never know. So we'll see. But we are we're happy here. And I think we're going to stick it out here even after he's done. So even
though it cost a fuck ton. But you just bought a new house. You're moving soon.
Yeah. So actually we purchased it probably 2 years ago, and we were supposed to be in it about a year ago.
Oh yeah. Construction.
And now we're like getting there. We had some issues with our builder, as everyone does. I feel like there's not like a clean ever build situation. Ever. Yeah. And it's fine. So we'll be in it soon, hopefully. And it'll be nice. Cause we've been in a lease now for 2 years. I mean, you can kind of see behind me. We just like threw shit in because we thought we were going to be in here for 6 months.
Right. Of course.
It ended up being 2 years. And so there's shit. I mean, look at this. This is my wardrobe for games. It's in Matthew's office. So there's that.
You're such a supportive wife. How is that, by the way, when you come? Because females are crazy bitches. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for the most part.
Yeah.
How is it then when you're coming and you're like, cause he just goes on the field and it's like, I have to work on the commodity in the locker room and on the field, but like, you're the ones that's going with the wags. Right. So
yeah.
How is that?
I would say like, usually most of the wives and girlfriends of these players are pretty awesome. Now I'm old. I'm way older than most of the girls. Cause like when I moved, I was 19, like, some of these girls are 21, 22. We're in different stages of life. So
I can be their mom.
Yeah.
By Ohio standard.
I feel like their mom because I'm saying things and I'm looking at them and they're like, you have kids? I'm like, okay, next. Next girl, do you have kids?
I just started legally drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it because I was that girl. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, these ladies have children already. Thinking they were so old and they weren't at all. They just had children. So it made it seem old. And now I'm the bitch that's old and has four children. And I'm sure they're looking at me being like, well, she's no fun. I'm like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, back to
the ones with kids are actually more fun because we don't get out that often. So.
And what do we do? It is on.
Oh, it's wild. It's wild. I'm going out and I'm hoping I'm not waking up the next day to deal with my children. I'm hoping my husband.
We're going out and we're just ramming it, bitches.
Yeah, there you go. No, but they're all really nice. In every situation, every locker room, it's kind of a rotating situation. Obviously, players are moved and either stay or leave. It's pretty it's like kind of a revolving door a little bit. So that gets tough when it comes to making friends and then they're gone. But I would say for the most part, it's a nice like group to have because there's not many people that understand what it's like to have someone down on that field.
Yeah.
It's a very physical game, which is not fun if you have someone you love down there. It really isn't. Like every time Matthew gets hit, and it's funny, I won't watch a play. I'll watch him. So he'll throw the ball and I'll just watch him if he gets hit. And make sure he gets up. And things like that. I mean, I can, now that I've watched it long enough and know him well enough, I know kind of exactly what might be hurting. And the one thing we don't try to fuck with is his head. It's just not worth it. And And sometimes they have to be saved from that because they're too competitive. So there's a lot of conversations after games between him and I where I'm like, did you get dinged? And you just decided to hide it. And there's a bunch of games where he says, yeah. So it's, and the NFL is trying to help them out with that by having these like spotters on the sideline and stuff like that, which is good. It's a step in the right direction.
Better helmets.
Yeah. And better helmets and maybe not turf. So it's not cement their heads are slamming against.
Each crew coming in, they are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. Like they, like Ray, they're all Ray Lewis's.
Yes. The difference, I think it's crazy. The difference, I know. And the differences between, Matthew talks about all the time, like 15 years ago to now, the athletic ability of these like huge humans is crazy. And I'm like, great. I'm so glad you're trying to run away from them. And my husband's not fast. Love him to death. He ain't the quickest in the book. So I'm
going to work on the footwork a little.
Like all the Ray Lewis's are charging after him. And I'm like, oh God, just get up, just get up. So, but we all as a group of wives and girlfriends can understand what's going on down there. And our hearts are not really with a win, which is with most fans. It's with safety. Yeah. So like if they get out of a game unscathed, it's a win for us. So, and there's, again, it's just those kind of people that get that.
Well, and again, it's not just like now it's not just 19-year-old, 20-year-old, like you, it's you and four babies.
Four girls. Yeah.
You know? So it's like, that's a whole different ball game on top of just like, I need you safe. Was there ever a time that you're like, dude, I appreciate your love. I appreciate your passion. Like, I know this is like what you want to do for life, but it's like, this is so hard for me to watch it.
There's been actually a few times of that. There's, it happened 2 years ago. He got hit, dinged in the head, and he ended up, we had to go to Pittsburgh to do all this concussion stuff, and it was not good. And I cried my eyes out, and I kind of, he sat the rest of the season to, you know, let his head heal. But then again, I'm looking at him going, is this worth it to you?
Yeah.
Like, because it's not like, if it's about making more money, then we can move to Georgia. And he's like, it's not about that. And it's not, he loves this game. And it's hard to tell someone who is good at something and who loves something so much to stop. But I do think he's not going to be like a Tom Brady. He's not going to play till he's 50. He's got his head on right for this. And I think, you know, he'll make that decision when it's time to. He knows he has four little girls. And let me tell you what, there was two games last year. My girls went to most of the games last year, which is a lot. But
how do they sit there the whole game?
I tell you what, my two older, actually my three older ones, they are very, they love it. We've really? Been learning, like they've been learning the game. They know like what the offensive linemen do. They know like, okay, there's this many people in office. They know things. They're starting
to learn. That's awesome.
Yes. Which also my husband's like, I want to play longer because they're starting to understand and what I want to, but they're also understanding like watching it and seeing their dad not get up from something. Yeah. And I had waterworks twice last year from my two older ones and they went straight to him. They're like, I don't want you to get hit anymore. I don't want you to play. And that I think was a huge wake up to Matthew that it's not just me anymore and him, like he has little girls watching. And when you don't
get
up,
they
get it. So that I think is the start to it. I don't think he has very long left. We talk about it all the time and it is what it is, but he's had an awesome career and I'm so looking forward to the next chapter. When that does happen. So, and I think my girls are too, to have them around and, you know, when they play sports on weekends, they want daddy there, but during the season, Saturdays and Sundays are off limits. So they're ready. And, you know, so am I, so we won't push by any means, but I will be completely accepting of when he decides to hang it up.
Well, you know what I can do on your behalf, if you'd like, I can have the team push a little bit, get the Josh Pye and the Iras going.
Yeah.
No, don't you want to be a broadcaster? You're sitting, you're chilling, you're not getting hit, you're making money.
I know I want that for him. I think he'd be amazing. Yes. And he's got this little quirk to him, this like dry humor, which I feel like he could let loose just a little bit, not all the way, with his broadcasting stuff. And people might get a little bit of his personality because he's been pretty locked up. Like, you don't see much of Matthew, his personality, unless you know him very well. So it'll be nice for people to get a little taste of that.
So like you, obviously you and I are similar. My husband's always like, he started taking jiu-jitsu and he's like 5'0". Like our kids are so, hopefully they get a little bit of my height. Otherwise mini me, like we're fucked. Okay.
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'9".
Okay.
That's awesome. So he's like, I'm taking jiu-jitsu. And I was like, I love it. Why? He's like, because your mouth, like you're going to run your mouth. They're not going to look at you. They're going to look at me and I'm going to get my ass kicked. And so then I'm like thinking about you, which is why another reason I was like so pumped, because like, I just feel like you're like that feisty, that athletic, you know, the talking shit, all that.
Oh yeah.
But like, then you start up this podcast the morning after, which is fucking awesome. I love.
Thank you.
Great. And the vasectomy.
You know what? I made the appointment. Guy still hasn't gone. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm like,
so he actually has not. Like, wait a minute.
No,
we're still not. Don't. Oh no. This is the plan. You say if you don't go to this appointment, guess who's doing it? I have no problem snipping anything down there.
I'm gonna be abstinent until you get it done. No, he will. I need to drive him myself. I need to be like, hey, we're going to lunch, and just drive into the doctor's office and be like, here you go.
Oh,
enjoy. I mean, he's like, I want to do it when I can sit around and watch the Masters. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's fine. Guy comment. Like,
I know. I know. Well, but honestly, I'm like, whatever.
This is in April, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well,
so we've talked about it. Yep, we've talked about it. And he's like, he has a friend, I think, that he's going to go in with and do it with. Not like, you know, whatever, but together in a way. So so they can act like it hurts together. I'm so over. He's like, I'm out a week. I'm like, you're out 24 hours.
They're pussies.
And then you know what? I got so many comments under that. So that vasectomy situation, I got my husband an appointment for his birthday for a vasectomy. And they're like, well, why wouldn't you just go get your tubes tied? I'm like, I don't know. That's a major fucking surgery. Why do I have to do it? Yeah. I'm like,
don't leave dumb comments like that for me to.
I know. I hate this. I know.
That's the thing. I'm like, Melissa, don't say anything, because people are mean. They're mean. And I want to fight back.
Could you imagine? This is what I like have trouble going through. Imagine going to someone's page and purposely leaving a mean comment.
No. Yeah.
I
can't imagine it, but it's like listen, there's a reason why like misery loves company.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But I'm like, I can never fathom doing that just to put someone down. I'm like, now if I don't like someone or if I don't like something, I just move on.
Yeah, right. Totally.
You know, like I don't sit there. I don't know. It really bothers me. And when you say, yes, I am very feisty and I open my mouth a lot and I put my foot in my mouth a lot. But that is like it's tough because my loyalty is, that's one thing that I love about myself, but also can get me into a lot of trouble. Yeah. When I love someone, whether you're a friend or my husband or anything like that, I will do anything to have their back. And that's just the way I've been brought up, but that can get you into a lot of trouble. Yeah. So even if it's like loyal to your values or what you believe, that can get you in trouble if you open your mouth on it, which sucks.
Especially nowadays, like everyone's so sensitive. You have to watch everything you say.
I told my girls, I'm done. Like literally this happened last night. Someone came in, was upset because somebody said something to someone else. And I was like, guys, listen, this world is mean. You can't be sensitive to it. You got to suck it up and move on. Like I can't raise, you can be sensitive at times. There's times to be sensitive and I'm totally for that. And I will be here for your emotions when that happens. But this, you can't let everything bother you. You got to laugh it off and move on. Like it's just is what it, but that they're learning that because our world is so sensitive.
I know. But were they like,
But well, they understood. And
even the things at school, and they're like, well, he was being mean to me. And he said, I don't want to be my friend. I'm like, oh my God, dude, don't play with them. See, that's the thing. I don't have the nice filter. Like,
do you remember? And I always tell my girls to stand up for themselves. I was like, if you're getting bullied, you need to stand up for yourself. Yes. And if something happens and you get in trouble, we'll talk it through. We'll talk about
right.
it.
Right. Totally.
But my, like, when we were growing up, I feel like it was the last thing to tell the teacher. Like, yeah. It was like, you handle your business. And it totally. not like violence or anything like that, but you either just brush it off or you say, listen, I didn't really love that. And if you continue to do that, something else is going to happen. Like, it was never the first thing to go tell the teacher that, well, so-and-so is doing this. That was never how I was raised, at least. And maybe because my mom was a teacher and she didn't want to fucking deal with this. She didn't tell me.
Well, that's the thing, but we were raised tougher. Like, and this is like, even like the kids now, like the younger kids at 21, I'm like, and especially in this area, it's like the entitlement and the, like, the, where's the work ethic and where's like just the toughness. It's like people are meaner and they're softer.
Yeah.
So it's just like a bad combination. Of, yeah. And I don't, like, even at my girl's softball game, she was like coming out. She will rip any guy's balls off. She's 5. She can dominate. For some reason, she was like having a moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, get back out there. And yeah. I'm like, fucking go. Like, I wasn't swearing, but I was like, let's get it going. And another mom would be like, Viv, like, what's going on with your feelings? And I was like, I don't have that at all. Like, that is not in my DNA.
what do they call it? The some type of parenting now. Why am I losing my, not patient parenting?
There's so many parenting.
So many ways to do. And listen, this is what I always say. My mom and dad raised me a certain way. Matthew's mom and dad raised him a certain way. It was very different. I think we co-parent very well, like our different parenting styles. But at the end of the day, I feel like we both turned out as pretty good people. Yeah. So I'm probably going to mirror what my parents did and he's going to mirror what his parents did and we'll call it a day. And whether that's too harsh for some people to realize, and I will say I'm pretty harsh on my kids because I feel like in the public eye, we are getting judged and looked at. And so I want them to behave. And I feel like sometimes it is a little too much. Like, you know, I am a little too hard on them at some points and I need to realize that it doesn't matter what the outside thinks of my children. It matters what my husband and I believe is that, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. But it's still hard when you're getting the comments, you're at games trying to be a mom. And like, they're like, look at the picture. They're like, daddy, don't get tackled. Like, and then it's like a thing. And
and it's everywhere. So cute,
but like the littlest thing, you're like, I'm just thinking I'm taking a family picture on the field. Like,
Yeah.
I just think everywhere. This is happening. Yeah. I mean, is that hard for you? Because like, listen, we're not even close to the same like playing field because you have like an NFL quarterback who is like fucking bomb diggity on the LA Rams. My husband runs the sports department, but like in the entertainment world, like his name carries. And I'm always like, well, what am I? Like, just like the trophy wife? Be there and like zip your mouth. I'm like, what do I need to do? I have two podcasts. I'm a nutritionist. I have children. Like, what the fuck else do I need to do to prove that I'm not just like some like dumb blonde with like big tits and shut your mouth?
Yeah. Sitting around doing nothing, what everyone thinks.
On my ass all day. Do you feel like that a lot ever? Or did you?
Oh, girl, all the time. I feel like I'm in therapy for it. You know, I've always been a person. And if you talk to anyone who's known me for a while, like I love to be, I'm very outgoing. I don't meet strangers. Like, I love to talk and just be in amongst a lot of people.
Right.
But as time went on, I realized that those people only want to be around me, certain people, because of who I'm married to. And then I become this like shadow, because then I get reserved. And I'm not a reserved person, but I get reserved if I get taken advantage of or if I get like fooled. So I became reserved for a really long time and I lived in his shadow for a very long time and it was not healthy for me. And when I say living in his shadow, like I just wasn't myself and I wasn't like when we would go to like, let's say charity events or anything like that, I'm usually very talkative and would talk to anyone. And I all of a sudden was, I didn't take
him the back seat. Yeah.
And I just let him. And he even said, he was like, you know, and we went through this whole thing, you know, especially after kids too. I felt it even more so because then I was just the mom and the wife and I wasn't myself. Like,
right. Kelly. Totally.
So I do feel like when you have someone who is in the spotlight right. and loved and doesn't fucking ever do anything wrong, that you tend to just kind of cower down and you lose yourself. And so I did that in Michigan and I closed myself off in Michigan. I didn't make any friends in Michigan because I didn't trust anyone.
Yeah.
And that's not because anything like things happen, but that doesn't right. mean like everyone in Michigan was wanting to be friends with me because of who I'm married to. I'm also a really fun chick. So like, yeah. I forgot about
it's even
that.
Harder than for someone like us to like,
yes,
to close down.
It was. Totally. And my husband finally goes, you know what, babe, like you forget how fun you are. People want to be friends with you because you're also really fucking fun. And so when we moved to California, I promised myself I wouldn't do that. I would branch out and be myself again. And kind of, I started this podcast when we moved here to have a little something on the side that was mine, purely mine. And it's been a blessing because I've gotten out a lot of feelings. You know, and I talk about parenting in a way of just like, fuck, it's hard and we fuck up and that's okay. Like this perfect shit we see on our phones. I'm done. I'm done with it. Done with the social media shit.
It's not real world.
No. And so anyways, like, yes, it's been a journey for me to kind of like find my, and I'm still on it to find myself again. But you know, I've always thought I was going to move back to Georgia. So that was like my safe haven. I was like, okay, when I move back, all my friends will be there.
Everything will be better.
Yes. Yeah. But you can't live like that. You got to live in the now because who knows if that's ever going to happen. Right. So I like told myself that I branched out. I've made so many great friends here. And it's been really nice. It's been really nice to have that one thing of my podcast to where I can say what I want, putting my foot in my mouth left and right. But you know what? That's me. So
yeah, you're being you.
Yes. And
is
I'm
that really why you wanted, because like, it's weird. I'm always like, I always think like, why did I like, someone was like, do you want to do a podcast, like an entertainment or a production company?
Yeah.
And they're like, would you want to do a podcast? This is now over 4 years ago. And I was like, I've never listened to a podcast in my life. And they're like, what do you know? And I was like, I know food and working out and sports. And I know, sadly, I know Bravo. And they're like, well, we do a lot of shows with Bravo. But I was like, I'm always like, why did podcasting kind of happen and fall in my lap?
Yeah.
And I was like, is it because of this, what you're feeling? Like, I am loud. I am too much for a lot of people. Yeah. But I'm just doing it all stuck in my house, like being a mom with small kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this my way of like, here's my voice. Like, fucking see me.
Yeah. For one. It's true. Like, be seen. And that's a good way of putting it. Like, you feel like you weren't, I felt like I wasn't seen for 12 years. And and not only by, you know, the outside world, but kind of by the people closest to me. You know, they always related whatever we were doing to my husband. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm still like my own person and not everything goes back to him. And that was
Matthew bought the house. And
yes.
Matthew, thank you, Matthew, for taking us on this trip. Thank you, Matthew, for dinner. Thank you, Matthew. Yes. And you're like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. And that, you know, that, that bothers me. I will say usually it's the men that tend to say, just thank the other men, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And my husband's really good at saying, you know, ours, as he should be. And he does, and I love him to death. He does give me credit with, you know, pushing him to do what was right by him when it came to asking for a trade. That was a team decision. And I just told him, I was like, listen, we're fine. Let's give it a shot. Cause if you don't ask and you stay here and they can't build around you, I mean,
totally.
You'll always wonder. So like, why not? You live once. You can always come back to Michigan if we want to move back here and stay here. But like, let's let's see what else is out there in a way. So I will say he did give me like some credit there, and he gives me credit all the time and says it's ours and things like that. But there's a part of me that's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, no.
You know, like there is a part of me. And that in itself, I was like, I need to get a job. I need to do this. You know, I was a nurse in Michigan. Then I had my kids and I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going back to nursing. I'm basically a nurse to my fucking children
who
are colic and miserable. And what people don't realize too with the profession that my husband is in, luckily he stayed somewhere for 12 years. But even when we were in there for 12 years, we would go to Georgia in the off season. So you would have to have a job that was half a year part-time.
Because there's so many of those.
Yes, because the people want to hire you for 4 months, 5 months, and then you're gone for seven.
Let's give this 6 months a good go, and then we'll see you later. Peace.
Yeah, and all the nursing people were like, yeah, no. We're not going to hire you for 5 months and then you leave for seven. So what people don't understand, or they get traded and they get they move around a bunch. So these wives and girlfriends, it's hard to maintain a job. Then a lot of times people develop their worth based on their jobs. And it is what it is. And that's true. And a lot of times we don't have those because there's a lot going on in our world. Now, I always tell Matthew, when he's done, it's my turn. Like
you're going to go. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to
like, what do you want to do?
Well, I talked about going back to school.
Yeah.
I would love. So the one thing I didn't like about nursing is I didn't like the doctors, you know, you spend all the time with the patients and then they come in and they tell you what's going like tell you, but we're more like the personal emotional. So we can say, okay, well, this is what's actually hurting, like things like that.
Right,
so I told Matthew, I was like, I might want to go back to school and be a nurse practitioner. So I am my own boss and I can do it that way. But that's all like, you know, I got to figure that out. But he agrees. He's like, yeah, it's your turn. Like I've been the one that's living my dream for this long. And now it's time for you to do yours, which I appreciate.
That's awesome.
Just got to figure out what exactly that is.
But like you don't, and like you said though, but look what you're already doing. In the meantime, you're starting your own podcast. Like, and by the way, you know what's crazy? Crazy. That guess what date is my birthday? April 17th.
Shut up.
I was like, you're fucking, when I saw that, and I was crazy. No way. Cause I'm like, what? You know, and look what you've been through. Like, you're moving, you've been through that. Four kids under 3.5 at one point. Like,
yeah. That was a very tough time in my life. And if for the people who are listening, don't know, I had a brain surgery on April 17th on your birthday. And it was supposed to be like 6 hours turned into 12, which was, you know, honestly, I was glad I was the one that was under and not the one that was waiting. And it's kind of crazy. We talk about the IVF being old school. Matthew had a pager.
Oh,
that's how they let him know. And the way they let him know that it wasn't going to be 6 hours, they wrote, hit a roadblock, expecting longer surgery. And so he's like, what the fuck?
Talk about doctors and nurses and the emotional factor.
Yeah. Like that's a doctor. Like, give him the facts. And he's in there. And I will say one thing about Matthew, and you can tell it on a field, he's very even keeled. Yeah. Like nothing affects him. And so my parents are in the room with him and they're waiting. They're like, what did they say? And he tells them that my mom's like, oh, what does that mean? What is a robot? And Matthew's like, I'm not sure. But all I know is if there was something really bad, I'm sure we would know. So let's just like be patient. They got the tumor out. It was just a little more of a recovery than I thought was going to happen. And I had three little ones at this point. And that was tough because the doctors did not want him around me for at least 2 weeks after surgery. So because just my balance was, I had to relearn how to like walk. Cause my balance was completely off. They wiped out my balance on my right side. So my brain had to learn how to learn just to use the left side. And so that took, I mean, I still have like, if I turn my head fast or anything like that, it's spinning room, all the things, but at the end of the day, I mean, I lucked out big time with the surgeon I had, and he saved my hearing, which was huge. So I'm so grateful. And honestly, it showed how strong, because again, Matthew and I had been through the IVF stage at this point. Then we had three little ones. We haven't had really time to breathe or like work on our marriage. And in that moment, that gave us that time to breathe and really realize what's important in life. And it's nothing to do outside of your home. It's all inside your home. And so that I feel like we used, I'm actually grateful for it, because I believe we became a stronger family, definitely a stronger marriage out of it, and move forward with the lessons that we learned through it. And that was literally like, hey, family's everything. It's really all that matters. You have your family, you have someone that has your back at all times. And that's what we're trying to kind of relay to our girls too, because if they can remain close and friends, could you imagine having three best friends that you've grown up with your entire life, that if you mess up, they're going to be the first ones to have your back? Like, that's huge for me. It's always about like loyalty for me. Huge. And that you have your squad right there. You don't need anyone else.
I mean, there's my parents divorced when I was five, remarried when I was six, and through that, there's seven girls.
Say that one more time.
One real, one half, and four step. And we're all, except for one growing up, when I would be with one of the parents, all six of us girls would be in the house at once.
Six girls.
But I don't have that. Like, we're all over the country.
Yeah.
We're different ages, I was an absolute jock athlete. Like, none of them played sports. One tried, she just couldn't. But like, I don't have that. And I'm like, fuck, like it's hard. Like, if I had more of that, because it, we're not 22 going to the bars. I'm like, oh my God, you're cool. Let's be friends. It's like,
yeah.
How do you make friends here? And in LA, it's like,
yeah, it's hard. I mean, and you can go so far back if you stay. And I tell my girls, if you stay best friends with your sisters, there's nothing that can split you up, because your shit goes so far back that you like, it's just the easiest. It's the hardest relationship to keep, but it's also the easiest moving forward. And like, I have one sister and one brother. We are incredibly close.
That's
something awesome. My parents also like instilled in us, that family is all that matters. And so, you know, we talk at least every day. My brother's in Florida, my sister's in Georgia. I miss them like hell. God, do I miss them. But that I always know if something is going on in my life where I feel like I can't turn to anyone, I know my brother and sister will be there. Which is what I want for my girls in the end, just to know that they're always there for one another. So, but yeah, going back, like April 17th, worst and best day of my life, I would say.
I love that you like were hit with such like a horrible thing. Cause like I talked to Michael Strahan, like his, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't even appreciate, but the fact that you were hit like that, and you could have easily gone one way, and you were like, let's see the best part of it. Like, look what I have. Yeah. I have a baby. I got pregnant again naturally.
Yeah.
After this.
Yeah.
I have Matthew, whether it's on the field, off the field, I have my brother and my sister, our families. Like, fuck, I am lucky, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed. And I say it all the time with the people that surround me. You know, we have a couple people that moved with us from Michigan, meaning like we brought our chef, who is honestly, he's our age. I met him so long ago. He was dating actually one of my friends back in the long time ago.
In the day.
And I didn't know he was a chef. He showed up. But anyway, long story short, like these people who surround us are family. Like, and I will always, and I tell them all the time to the few that came with us and the few that we've also adopted here in a way, I will always have your back, and I would hope you would have mine too. Yeah. And my girls call them uncle or aunt, because it's family. And I do feel like if you put effort into creating this environment and creating a family, it benefits you 1,000 times over.
Totally.
Because you just know who you have in your corner. And that to me, especially when I put my foot in my mouth, which happens again a lot, I know I can turn to Chef Chris and be like, he'll be like, Kel. So like, like, and
we'll I'm going to tell you fucked up before Matthew does.
Yeah. He's like, let's talk about it before Matthew gets home so you have the right mindset.
Strategize. How do we make it better?
Yeah. So anyways, it's just one of those things where you build that community around you and you really put effort into it. And again, it just, it feeds you, it feeds your soul more than anything, like any personal possession thing could. It's the people around you and the relationships you have. Exactly. So that is like, again, but before the brain surgery, I don't know if I really thought like that. You know, my parents tried to instill it in me, but I think I got selfish there for a while. You know, it was like, woe is me. Look, I'm taking the back seat to everything. You're living your dream. I'm having to do this when my dream, you know, and all of a sudden I'm going, that's not even important right now. Yeah. What's important is like living and loving on one another, that the people that you do love. So anyways, it was a journey. And it's just like the journey I'm on now that we were both talking about, like finding yourself.
Yeah.
And I do think that's going to be a longer journey for me. You know, I started 2 years ago. I feel like there's still a lot underneath that I'm trying to get out. But as long,
transitions, it's like, you don't know what Matthew's going to be doing in a year or 2 years. It's like, there's always something. You didn't think a fourth kid would come along. It's like,
yeah,
life just throws shit at you. Like you said, life is hard. Life is mean. Even like bad things happen to good people. We don't know why, but it's like, you know, it's hard to explain this as a mom and to ourselves. Like,
yeah. But I think you had it right too. Like you can't be sensitive in life, right? We said that, but you can't be sensitive to everything that's thrown your way.
Yeah,
because that life isn't fair to everyone. I mean, like what's going on with Strahan. Like that's really, really, really hard. And I kept saying to Matthew, I go, as long as it's not our kids, I'll take it all.
Totally.
That's his child. Like that is a whole different ball game to me, but you can tell they're using it or not using it, but they're working through it. They're not going, well, why me? Why
let's
me?
Just roll over and like,
yeah, like they're not doing that because they're stronger than that. And they know that
right in the fight together.
Yeah. Yes. Together. And I, and not, and again, you gotta be tough to be able to do that. So like us raising sweet children sometimes doesn't suffice. You can be sweet and tough at the same time.
Well, and I think again, people like us can't handle those things because we are at the core, we're tougher than a lot of, and again, when they say you're only thrown things that you can handle, it's like, okay, fuck it. I really didn't need that one.
But
I understand what you're trying to tell me. Like I get it.
And I'm going to push through it.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. I mean, like that's like the mindset I always have. I'm going to push through it. Cause that's what I was raised to do, is to push through and get to the other side.
Like I was so excited to do this because I knew that there were so many similarities with us.
Yeah.
And you would just be fucking so dope because I don't like anybody. I don't like anybody. And I just knew you would be like my jam. Like, God, this is a girl I need to go booze with. And like,
I would love that.
And talk and like, okay, look, I'm getting yelled at. Listen, but this is the fun, more fun part. Will you play a game?
Yeah.
You can keep all your clothes on.
Okay. Summer, I worked out this morning.
I know. I was out myself. Listen, if you want, let's ram it hard, baby. Okay. Because I know that you have you guys have Under the Helmet.
Yes.
Coming out.
Oh my God.
That freaking little preview.
They did a
and
really
when
good
you
job.
See him, because you said he's always like this, and he's like the one thing he's on the field, and he's like, dah, dah.
Oh my God. Can I tell
you? You like, let's go home and bone.
My ovaries just do this. I'm like, ooh, yeah. No, I love seeing that side of him because I never get to see it. It's a side move on the field. But like the bring that shit, talking shit. I was like, ooh. I will say that trailer made us look very interesting. We're not that interesting.
Dude. No. That trailer. And by the way, your April 17th of amazingness is bringing good luck that it's dropping on the 18th.
I know. I mean, love that.
It's okay. So listen, I'm very excited about it. Listen, are you down real quick? It's I named this Under the Helmet.
Okay.
Under the Helmet, .. Tackling life with the Staffords. It's just a rapid fire.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
Who's the better cook?
Matthew.
Who has a dirtier mouth?
Ooh.
He has a dirty mouth?
Oh, we both use our cuss words pretty strongly. I'll say me though, just because I'm a lady, so it seems more intense. You know,
I am such a lady. I put the ass in class.
I love that.
Okay. Matthew's first reaction to starting a podcast, was it hell no or hell yeah, baby?
I would think he was worried because of my mouth.
For the mouth.
He was worried. So no.
Okay. Who misses living in Detroit more?
Me.
Who is messier outside of the kids between you two?
Oh, fuck me.
Okay. What's harder, being a mom of four or being an NFL wife?
Being a mom of four.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think being mom is like the hardest shit ever. And I fuck it up all the time. Being an NFL wife, I just like, I fuck that up too, but at least I'm not hurting my four girls.
Yeah. At least I'm not like impacting how my kids are going to grow.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Who eats healthier?
He does. I have a sweet tooth that's out of control.
You're sweet. I'm a sweet tooth too.
Yeah.
Who's in better shape though?
I am.
Yeah, you are, baby. Oh my God. Speaking of, please tell me you do something with aloe.
I do something with aloe?
Yeah.
My husband is an aloe client.
Oh my God. Marco and Kim.
They're the best.
I love them.
They're honestly I did not expect one of the owners to aloe to be the nicest human I've ever met, but he's like and then Kimmy is right there with them. So I mean, they're amazing.
I was like, listen, I just want to be somebody so I can get a brand deal with Al. That's all
girl,
I want.
Shame. It's not like I get it. They send him clothes. And I'm like, will you send me something? I feel like I rep it more. Come on.
Man. I know. Okay. I know. Okay. Okay. This is the last question because you got to go. But this is a very serious question. We're actually going to be serious for the last 10 seconds of the podcast.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm nervous.
Who, you ready?
Yes.
Who initiates boom, boom in the bedroom more?
Me. I mean, during the season, he's so tired. And I'm like, hey, are you awake?
Are you sleeping?
He's like,
yeah, right. Yeah. He's so tired. You're doing your podcast. You're like, on the mic. Yeah.
On the mic. How are you, Mike? No, yeah, it's tough during the season. And I feel like everyone who's in that realm gets it, especially quarterbacks, because they're literally nonstop working. And when he hits that bed, no one can go to sleep faster than Matthew.
No,
it's it is a third. Is
how
it a guy
are you snoring? You just put your head on the pillow.
I mean, I haven't even brushed my teeth. We came in the room at the same time. And I haven't even brushed my teeth and he's snoring. He doesn't snore.
I hate men. Like they're like, and
it's done. So annoying. Like my mind's doing this. I'm like, are you going to do tomorrow? Assholes out.
Out. So, always.
Love him though. But I do like sometimes I'll be like, are you asleep? And he's like, yes. I'm like, okay.
Night night. Are you sure? Yeah.
What if sure? I rub you a little, you on a back rub? And he's like, no.
It all starts with the massage.
Yeah, it does, right? You're like, let me just get that knot out for you. And he'll be like, sometimes he'll be like, okay. And so he's like, nah, I'm good, babe. I'm like, okay. I'll just try to go to sleep then.
I'll just hear my thoughts for the next 2 hours, you asshole.
Yeah. So, but yes.
We got to get together. We got to go. Listen, when you get back and settled and you get down here, I'll text you. I'll email you guys my number.
Okay. Sounds good, girl. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
I appreciate you having me on. It was so fun. So easy.
This is awesome.